Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Train of Thought. I am Tyler Payne, and tonight we have a really fun show. First of all, we're going to kick it off with I got a buddy coming on with me. His name is David, and he's a very avid Minnesota Vikings fan. So we'll be discussing NFC North, and you know, that is a really interesting division and really fun division, considering the amount of talent, because there's a good amount of talent in that division. So one second here, and then we're going to kick this thing off with David. And, you know, the first thing we're going to dive into is kind of the – now, I want to get to records a little later, so – we're going to do some little fun stuff right now. So, how you doing, Dave? Are you on with me?
Hey, I am. How you doing, Tyler? You hear me all right?
Yep, I hear you fine, buddy.
Okay, good.
Okay, so first and foremost, how are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Life seems to be shaping up at the moment. Right in the middle of the baseball season with the Park and Rec, and everything's going smoothly. So looking forward to later this month when I make the big move out west.
Right.
Not west, but
yeah, it's gonna be a sad occasion, but
yeah, 4 hours away from Clinton.
But I'm happy for you. So
thank you, All right. Money is money. So
oh yeah, gotta follow the money sometimes, man. So,
that's right.
Let's kick it off with, it's a pretty bold category, but
mm-hmm.
It feels like it's a no-brainer, right? The MVP for 2016 out of those four teams, the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Bears,
mm-hmm.
who's the best player in the division? In 2016.
2016.
I mean, if you think Rodgers is going to have a down season and be, you know, any less than he was last year, because I still think he was the best player in that division last year, and that was his down year.
Well, think about this though, AP led the league in rushing. He basically single handedly led the Vikings to a division title.
But he
He was the offense though.
Yeah.
And he did all of that with the worst line in the division. I'll give him that for sure. You know, if you don't know me, I'm a diehard Vikings fan, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know.
But they had one of the worst lines in the division. I mean, they were mediocre when it came to run blocking, but pass blocking, they were one of the worst, and it made them one dimensional and very predictable. He still led their league with rushing yards. So, I mean, it's a two horse race. It's Peterson or Rodgers. There's no third one. I can't think of another one. I mean,
but this is if Peterson gets a 2,000 yard season or something. I mean,
right.
Just leading the league in rushing with 1,400 yards or. Was it 1,400?
Yeah, it was like 1,450.
I mean, we're pretty used to seeing pretty big numbers, and that wasn't, you know, like jaw-dropping numbers. You
know,
AP's done that before, and Rodgers had put up, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously he's had.
But you're talking about, we're also talking about last season. I'm predicting this season that Peterson's going to have a better year. Better blocking equals
right.
better year for Peterson.
And
think about this.
Pulls
think
better
about
year
this.
For Rodgers.
And I agree with that. the thing about this also, Teddy, I think, is going to have a better year than he did last year. Do you agree with that? He's going to progress a little bit, at least. So I think there's going to be less eight-man boxes, and Teague Peterson's going to get a chance to find some more room. So I don't know.
In Bridgewater's situation, he has nowhere to go but up because his numbers were not pretty last year. So, I mean, even if he took a step forward, it wouldn't have to be much, but it would still be progress.
I can't agree with you there. Yeah.
So far you say Adrian Peterson by the end of 2016 will be the best player in that division.
Well,
and
also think about this. If you take away Rodgers from the Packers, you think they can still be, you know, one of the top teams in the division? I still think they can.
No.
If you take away Peterson, I think they can. He wasn't injured last year, but he didn't have his best year last year, and they still won 11 games or 10 games. So maybe take away Peterson. He did that, yeah. It's 1A and 1B, I swear. There's not a lot of separation there. I mean, it's a passing league, and passing is very important. So, I mean, Rodgers has that going for him. But if you take Adrian Peterson away from the Vikings offense, man, they're a bottom 10 in the NFL when it comes to just overall offense then.
Well, this is kind of my thinking when it comes to Adrian Peterson. Hear me out real quick. Well, last year he did lead the league in rushing, no doubt, obviously. It was a bad year for running backs. That's not an excuse. He was still the best running back in football last year. Would he have been if a couple guys were on the field? I don't know.
Yes.
You know, talk big major injuries.
Two fifths of our offensive line were injured before the season even started.
Right.
So we had a makeshift offensive line, and he's still. Imagine if we had a full year of 100% starting quality linemen. You know, I think he would have gotten, you know, a few more 100 yards out of that season.
Right. Well, and this is the thing that worries me, though, is last year he had two pretty bad games, and we're talking about the Chiefs and the Seahawks. You know, those two games really stick out. And who's to say that those two games – because wasn't the Seahawks game, wasn't that the week after the Raiders, something like that?
I think you're right.
Around that range when he really, like, went really hard out there. Who's to say that maybe age didn't catch up with him for a week after going? Because, I mean, against the Raiders, he went hard all the way till the 80-yard touchdown at the end of the game. So, you know, if that's an age thing, who's to say that we can't put another two games like that next year? Two or three, you know? So,
okay.
I just think that there's more, like, for example, running backs, we're betting on Adrian Peterson defying age, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, based on history, we're betting on his freak athleticism to defy the age factor in today's NFL when it comes to running backs. When it comes to quarterbacks, look at
there's
the quarterbacks who are old. You know, they're in their 30s. And they're posting up career highs. Eli Manning just threw a career high. Ben Roethlisberger at a late age. Obviously, Peyton Manning shattered every record at the age of like 37. So, you know, Rodgers still has a way. I think his arrow's still pointing up. I don't think we've seen the best of Rodgers yet. And it could be this next year that we see maybe the best of Rodgers because he'll be, what, 33?
34? Yeah, 33. And, you know, I think he's got at least another 3 or 4 years left in him.
Oh, at least. That's at least. You know, he could go, you know, the length that Peyton went, going to 40, or Brett Favre, you know. So, well, I mean, we don't know that stuff. But we're going to transition into the next topic in this NFC North breakdown, and that's, and it's interesting because this division, every single one of these teams has a star on the defensive side of the ball. And I am talking about the Bears, too, because I think Pernell McPhee, and now they signed Danny Trevathan.
Trevathan.
They got some star power on defense. I don't think that Trevathan or McPhee will be the best defensive player in that division next year.
No.
But, I mean, if we look at the Vikings, there's plenty of options to pick. You know, Harrison Smith and Anthony Barr are probably the two that stick out the most. Mm-hmm. And on the Packers, you know, there's actually guys all over the field. I mean, who I don't even think we've seen the best of. And we're talking about Denarius Randall and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. I don't think he's fully grasped the NFL yet. And when he does, it's going to be lights out, I think. So, you know, well, I mean, I'm just pointing out the young guys. Obviously, they got Mike Daniels and Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers. So, there's plenty of guys to pick from. And there's really only one on the Detroit Lions, and that's Ezekiel Ansah, who is a freak. I'm going to start with you. And you just spitball me who you think is going to end up being the best defensive player by season's end out of this entire division.
Good question. Well, it's tough when there's no categories. Like if we break it down, like, by, you know, parts of the defense,
secondary,
the line, the secondary. I mean, I could say, you know, in the secondary, it's tough. I gotta go with Harrison Smith. If when he's healthy, he's all over the place. He does everything. He plays center field out there catching ticks. He plays man to man. He plays zone. He rushes the quarterback. He does it all. If we're talking about linebackers, I mean, I like Trevathan. He's got a why he goes sideline to sideline. Anthony Barr goes sideline to sideline. You know, DeAndre Levy, he kind of had an off year last year. I like him too. Clay Matthews, as much as I hate him, he's starting to be a solid inside linebacker when he's called upon to do so. Then on the front four, I mean, you can't forget about Everson Griffin up for the Vikings. He's got a high motor. Linville Joseph was the number three inside or interior pass rusher behind Aaron Donald and J.J. Watt, according to Pro Football Focus. When he's healthy, he had a bad toe during the middle half of the season, and that really hurt us when he was out. But when he's in, man, he's a beast in the middle. And Anza, of course, is great outside. So there's a lot of options, but if I had to choose just one out of everybody, man, that's a tough decision. I got to go with Harrison Smith, man. He's just a rock for the Vikings. Without him, our secondary looks really bleak. So that's who I got to go with.
Okay. And, you know, I'm not a fan of the Packers, but if you remember back in 2010 when the Packers won the Super Bowl and all that, during the regular season, Clay Matthews was the best player on that football team. And I was absolutely surprised that Troy Polamalu won the Defensive Player of the Year award over Clay Matthews. And I think he's a real dark horse to take that title away from J.J. Watt this year. They're moving him back to his natural position.
Right,
and he can't be more excited about it. And we know Clay Matthews, and even if you don't like the guy, he's a hell of a football player.
Oh, he is.
So I think he got robbed of a Defensive Player of the Year award, and I think he will win one. And this kind of, I don't know, it kind of feels like the year. He's making his way back into the outside linebacker position where he can react as well as he can attack the quarterback, which is, you know, a huge commodity in the NFL. So, you know, I can see 15-plus sacks with, you know, a hefty amount of tackles, and he can win that award this year. I see a big year for Clay Matthews. I'm not saying that I do think that Clay Matthews is a better football player than Harrison Smith, but it is close. It is close.
Ooh.
Because Harrison Smith is a real, I think Clay Matthews kind of gets a bad rep because of all of his commercials and his hair and stuff. He balls out every single year, and he does what the defense tells him to do, and he does it well. You know, Harrison Smith, Clay Matthews, they're on the same level. So we're talking about the same kind of people here. So the final thing I want to get to is obviously records. You know, with the combination of stuff I said and considering the fact that, I mean, I'm just talking about history here. With a healthy Rodgers, they're winning at least 11 games. I believe they won 10 games when they won the Super Bowl, maybe. Maybe it was 11 games. But, you know, so, like I said, I mean, I'm sure we talked about this before, and if the Vikings want to beat the Packers with what they got working with, they got to have a season like last year where they beat them. They beat them twice, right?
No, they split. The Vikings lost to them at home, but the Vikings came and beat them at Lambeau the last game of the season.
Oh, at Lambeau. It was week 17, right?
Yep, that was an awesome game.
Right, so if it's a make-or-break game, you know, that would be the Vikings' best scenario. Otherwise, they're going to try to have to win 12, 13 games just to beat or clinch the division. And,
right.
I mean, I'm not saying anything outlandish here. You know, I think Rodgers is the best player in football. So when you got the best player in football, then you obviously are going to win a lot of games.
Okay.
So,
I suppose.
If you had, well, I mean, am I lying here? That they don't.
Well,
win
I'm the best
year?
Player in football. That's always a tough. That's always a tough argument for anybody.
I don't think so. Not on my end.
Okay.
I just think that we've seen them do stuff that we've never seen before. I mean, literally. Do you remember? Well, obviously, everybody remembers the Hail Marys, two of them in the same season. And then just a couple years ago against the Bears, the crazy play that didn't even count because a flag was thrown. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but this crazy.
I'm trying to remember. Was that
So Randall Cobb.
Hmm.
It was like week two of the 2012 season or something. 2013. No, it was like 2013. But, I mean, it was just one of the most ridiculous throws I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen a lot of footballs be thrown, David. So, you know, I just, yeah, I don't know. I love what the guy does. I mean, the seasons he's had, and I'm sure we're going to see even better seasons as he gets older.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's exciting. I told, you know, my fiance's little brother, he was, like, asking me a bunch of football questions, and I told him, I said, man, you got to start watching football now, because then you can say that you watched Adrian Peterson, Aaron Rodgers, and J.J. Watt growing up, you know, at least catch a glimpse of them and know what they're about. Because
they're once-in-a-lifetime players.
Right. I mean, they're going to go down as arguably the greatest of all time at their position, you know, if not the greatest. You know, Aaron Rodgers statistically is on his way there. He just needs, you know, more rings.
Sure.
Adrian Peterson, obviously we said he needs to defy age, but I don't think Emmitt Smith is the best running back of all time, and he has the most rushing yards. You know, I think it's Barry Sanders. And AP just needs to really – he, you know, Barry never took him there, but I think he needs to take the Vikings there, you know. I'd love to see Adrian Peterson get a ring.
Yeah, yeah. I think all the Vikings fans would love to see that.
Okay. So what is your prediction on who wins the division with what record? And who's on the bottom? I think it's the Detroit Lions with about four or five wins.
Okay. I think, I mean, I look at the schedules for everybody and who they play and all that. And the NFC North has a collective of the weakest schedules. They all play the NFC East and the AFC South, which are considered a couple of the more weaker divisions in the league. With that being said,
so
I don't think anybody...
So the Packers can win, like, 30 games.
Yeah. I don't believe anybody wins less than 6 games. I think the Bears and the Lions are going to tie at 6-10.
Okay.
I think the Bears, they got talent. They always have talent, but... I don't see – they're not going to mesh as well as some people might think. They got a new offensive coordinator. Jay Cutler's going to go back to old Jay Cutler. Adam Gase is gone. The Lions will always find a way to screw up, and they don't have Calvin Johnson's production anymore. And I don't think their running game is going to be the savior that everybody thinks it's going to be. So I believe they're both going to go 6-10. Now, the top of the division, it's going to be a dogfight. I guarantee this, though. I guarantee this. The winner of the Week 2 game in the new stadium in Minnesota between the Packers and the Vikings, that winner of that game is going to win the division. Okay? If the Packers beat the Vikings on their first game in their new stadium, I think you might as well be playing for a wild card if you're the Vikings, because I don't see the Vikings beating them at Lambeau twice in a row. I don't know when the last time they've done that before, but I just don't see that happening. Vikings have to play the Panthers and the Cardinals. Those are their two hardest games besides the Packers. The rest of them, I think they can win. If they split with the Packers and beat them at home, I think the Vikings can go 12-4, even 13-3 is possible.
Right.
I think they sweep the NFC East, they sweep the AFC South, and they sweep the Lions, and they sweep the Bears. They had a great season.
Twice.
What's that?
They lose to the Packers twice.
Who, the Vikings? No, I said the Vikings. If the Vikings split with the Packers and win that game at home, Week 2, I think they win the division. If they lose the Packers twice, the Packers win the division. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you said you're going to sweep both the divisions. That's 8 wins. And then the Lions and the Bears, and that's 12 wins. And then if you beat the Packers one time, that's 13 wins.
Yeah. I think the Vikings are going to lose to the Packers once, lose to the Panthers, and lose to the Cardinals. They're going to be their 3 losses. 13-3 or 12-4. That's if they go 12-4, I think the Packers have a chance to equal that or get 13 wins. I think the Packers do the same thing. They're going to sweep both those divisions, sweep the Bears and Lions. And if the Packers go 6-0 in the division, then they're gonna pull it out. But if the Vikings can somehow split them and win that game at home Week 2, which they should have all the momentum and all the, you know, hype and everything to their stadium opener. I think they're gonna win. They're gonna win the division. So, both teams, I believe, are playoff locks. I believe they both are. Obviously, we're talking about staying healthy, of course. If Peterson goes down week two, I think it's, you know, that's going to be hard. But if teams stay relatively healthy, I believe both Packers and Vikings are playoff locks. With one of them's going to get a 5 seed, one of them's going to get a 2 or a 3 seed.
Well, let's not forget, just repeating history, that the swap of playoff teams, and I think the Vikings could be one of those candidates. At least 6 playoff teams, or maybe it's 5 on average, are different. So, you know, the
that's
Vikings.
Where the, that's where the AFC is going to come in.
Right. So I think, you know, obviously the Vikings made the playoffs last year. They won the division. But I don't know. It kind of feels like 11-5 is like a, I don't want to say a peak, but I just don't see you guys peaking next year. You know what I'm saying? So I think you could win 13 games is a lot, because typically we're talking about either the or the second best team in football if we're talking about 13 wins. So, you know, that's a pretty bold thing to say. So I think 11 wins sounds about right for the Vikings, but I do see the Packers win like 12, 13 games though. I don't think that's bold. Because, I mean, we just see it. We see it all the time. So
you're a bold guy.
15-1, 13-3. I mean, we've seen those kind of records out of them. So, I'm just going with it.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, the end of it. And, you know, by the end of it, you chose Adrian Peterson, Harrison Smith, and the Vikings to win the division. So you went all Vikings. It's going to be the Vikings' year in the NFC North next year.
It's going to be a – I mean, all the stars are aligning. We got our youth. We got our young talent. We got our old veterans. Again, it depends on who's healthy. You know, we got 14 offensive linemen on the roster right now. He's gonna have the top 5 guys play. If he can't get an offensive line that's pretty darn good out of those 14 guys, then there's something wrong. There's gonna be godly amounts of competition to get that O-line straightened out, both for the pass blocking and the run blocking. It wouldn't surprise me if we were top 5, top 10 in rushing, and maybe middle of the pack in passing. And my goal, I really want to see another top 5 finish for the defense, too. Last year, we finished top 5 in points allowed, and I think we can repeat that. So, I mean, if this has got to be our year. Between all that and the week schedule, there's no way we regress. I think 11-5 is a baseline. The bottom, I think, realistically, 12 games is what I'm thinking. Maybe we slip up once here or there on the road, but I honestly think we could go 7-1 at home and maybe 5-3 on the road, something like that. So I'm not talking Super Bowl, but everybody is saying that the Vikings are going to at least – my goal is to win a playoff game, if not 2. I'm hoping they make it to the NFC Championship game. That's a realistic goal for me.
Well, I obviously don't see it. You know, obviously I don't sound like I see it. So, you know,
well,
I just don't want you.
That's just you.
I don't want you to set yourself up for disappointment is all I'm saying.
Well, that's being a Vikings fan, that's all we have is disappointment. So, well,
okay.
The off season,
right. Well,
the off season, anything can happen on the off season. So, but
okay. Well, that comes to the end of this, and we are going to take a break. Thanks for coming on with me, Dave, and talking some NFC North. And, you know, feel free if you I'm every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and just let me know if you feel like coming on for a segment or so. So,
I'd love to talk the AFC West with you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you would.
Yeah. I wonder who's going to finish last in that division.
Not the Chiefs.
Well, probably.
Okay.
All right, one of those five teams that doesn't make the playoffs. Whatever. Okay, that sounds good, Tyler. Thank you for having me. Hopefully you guys out there listening enjoy hearing my voice. Otherwise, I won't show my face ever again. So thanks for having me, Tyler.
No problem. We'll see you later.
All right, bye.
You are listening to Sports Addicts Radio, the best in sports and memorabilia. To listen in, go over to sportsaddicts.com and click on the show. Or to listen and be part of the show, simply dial 646-378-1303.
Join the original guru, Chris Bellina, as he talks about the NFL and fantasy football. Original guru Chris Bellina will give you the cold hard facts about your favorite NFL team and your favorite NFL and fantasy players. To listen in, go over to www.sportsaddicts.com and click on the show or dial 646-378-1303. You can also be part of the show with your questions or comments by dialing in and pressing number 1 on your phone to come on the show. That's the original guru, only on Sports Addicts Radio.
When I want to listen to sports on the radio, I know there's only one place to turn to. A place that has all the latest and greatest news on my favorite teams. A place that is just as exciting as watching the real game itself. And that's with the Sports Hawks on Blog Talk Radio. Join hosts Will Hawkins, Brian Rojas, and T. Brooks as they debate the sports topics in the greater DC, Maryland, and Virginia area with real sports fans just like you who call in to talk sport. Do you want to chat with your favorite hosts? To listen or be part of the Sports Hawks, dial 646-378-1303. And who knows, maybe you'll end up on the radio too. The Sports Hawks, only on Sports Addicts Radio.
All right, welcome back to Train of Thought. I'm Tyler Payne, and right now I'm going to have T. Brooks, Mr. T. Brooks, in the fan block, and he's a hardcore Redskins fan, also co-host of Sports Hawks. That is on Sundays, and are you here with us, T.?
I'm here with you. How you doing this evening?
Good, good. Just had an interesting conversation on the NFC North, and my Vikings friend believes that the Vikings will have the best player in the division, Adrian Peterson, the best defensive player in the division, Harrison Smith, and have the best record at 13-3 or 12-4 next season. I kind of went the opposite. I went the Packers in about every category. But that's not really what we're talking about here. Right now, you know, in the fan block, I like to get to know whoever is here with me. And obviously right now, we have T. Brooks. So, first and foremost, just kind of tell me about maybe your kids, if you've got any kids, and kind of what your passion is in life.
Well, I mean, I have a lot of different things as far as passions, but yeah, I have 4 kids. I'm a little bit of a, I have them from one end to the other end. My oldest daughter is 22, and then I have a 9-year-old, 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. So,
nice, nice. I'm there with you on the 4 and the 2-year-old right now.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, you know, obviously, Redskins. We're about the Washington Redskins. You are, and, you know, I like to kind of get in the early days. So, just kind of tell me your first memory of the Redskins, or maybe football in general, if the Redskins were included.
Well, I'm not exactly sure when exactly I started watching the Redskins, but one of my – I have 2 most vivid memories, one good, one bad, both from the early 80s and both of them from the Redskins going to the Super Bowl. The first one was, you know, beating the Miami Dolphins. I was, you know, young. I was
right.
I think I was like 8 years old at the time of that Super Bowl. And I definitely, you know, enjoyed that and just, I mean, you just don't know how enthused I was with my team winning the Super Bowl, even though I was young and probably just a casual fan. I only watched it from time to time because, you know, being that age, you kind of on Sundays you're with your, I was with my mother a lot and she liked to stay at church. So, well, she still does. So on Sundays I was with her at church a lot, but on that particular Sunday, I definitely remember the Redskins winning. And then the next year, you know, another memory, which was the bad memory, seeing them lose in the Super Bowl to the, actually, the Jerry's Oakland Raiders. So,
oh, yeah, Mr. Mark.
Well, at that time, yeah, matter of fact, at that time, I think they were, I can't remember, they switched back. And I think they were actually the L.A. Raiders at that time.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But, yeah, those are my two earliest memories. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's, my first memory is also a Super Bowl. The Chiefs obviously were included. So I was, you know, I'm a young buck. So the 2000 Super Bowl, the Rams and the Titans, I remember Kurt Warner all over. I was 6. I didn't start avidly watching until about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years later, because my mom and dad were pretty big Chiefs fans at the time. My dad, I guess, hopped off the Chiefs wagon, and now he's a Bears fan. He claimed to be a Bears fan before I was born, but I don't know if I believe all that jazz, because we were going through a pretty rough time, and he jumped off, so... you know, that was pretty bogus. I wasn't very happy about that. But, so, I mean, now we want to kind of switch gears into what's going on right now. And, well, actually, real quick, my favorite Redskin of all time is Darryl Green. Is that the same for you, or do you have a different?
I would say he's one of them. He's right up there. But,
mm-hmm.
But like I was saying, that first Super Bowl that I remember with the Redskins, I mean, it was John Riggins who made that big run.
Sure.
And
yeah.
He definitely – became one of my, you know, favorite Redskins. But at that time, you know, it was it was really John Riggins and then also Dexter Manley. They were like, you know, the two loud mouths on the team, you know, one on the offense and one on the defense. And those were two of the favorites. And, I mean, I would definitely say Daryl Green is up there on that list. I mean, he's the longest tenured Redskin. He only played for the Redskins. He never went anywhere
else.
Right, you know? So I definitely respected and loved that because he actually had the opportunity to go somewhere else, and he didn't. He ended up staying with the Redskins. So that definitely puts him high on that list.
Okay, and actually, real quick, we'll get into the opposite side. And do you have – I mean, I think it should be pretty obvious, but maybe you have a different answer. What was your biggest disappointment as far as a player, like a free agent or even a draftee that you had really high expectations for?
Oh, man. You're talking about just in general throughout the, you know, years of me being a Skins fan? Well, one of the biggest disappointments was Michael Westbrook. You know, he was a receiver, and you just saw so much talent in this guy, and he didn't quite live up to his potential as far as I can, you know, see.
Right.
One of the things with him was him getting in a fight with the running back at the time, Steven Davis.
Steven Davis from the Panthers?
Right, yeah, he was with the Redskins. He was actually drafted by the Redskins. And him and Michael Westbrook got into it. And I think Westbrook actually sucker punched him and then continued to punch him. So... That was at practice, and it was actually caught on film and played on the news over and over. So.
Oh yeah, but, sure, right.
Yeah, but he was one
know.
Of.
I kind of felt like it was Albert Haynesworth. Like if I was a Redskins fan, I would be pretty bummed out about that.
That's who I was going to say. Yeah, that's who I was going to say as far as the free agent.
Right.
Westbrook
well,
was like the draft pick. So.
Right. Well, I said either or. Like, for example, Tyson Jackson's pretty rough. We picked him like number 3 overall in a pretty decent draft class. We definitely could have gotten somebody better and, you know, really high expectations for him, obviously. And I think that's the one draftee on my side of the spectrum with the Chiefs, and you know we don't sign a lot of free agents necessarily, so there's not really a lot to point to. What were you just saying, T?
Oh no, I was just saying, you know, I was just giving you two examples of it. One draft pick and one free agent signing, and Haynesworth definitely was the worst of the bunch. He's one of those guys who basically and a lot of people would try to, I guess, especially Titans fans, because I guess some of them still support Albert Haynesworth, but to me, he was Haynesworthless. I mean, he was just,
right.
He's big for
if
nothing.
Belichick can't even handle you.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, he talked trash, but I mean, one of the things is a lot of people don't remember, but when he was actually with the Titans, even though it was against Aaron's Dallas Cowboys, now I'm saying this the game when he was with the Titans and he stomped on one of the Cowboys offensive linemen when he had his helmet. Yeah. The guy's helmet got knocked off and he stomped on the guy's head, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he did that a couple times, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he did a lot of questionable things. And, I mean, to me, he was just a dirtbag. Of course, when he was on my team, you know, you want them to be good and you want them to do the right thing to be successful.
But looking back on it now, though.
Well, even when he was still here, I mean, what got me was it was actually a year where Mike Shanahan was here and he couldn't pass a conditioning test. And people were getting mad at Mike Shanahan saying, well, they're just making a mockery of this and this, that, and the other. But I'm like, if all the other players passed it, he needs to pass.
He failed with the Patriots, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You could tell he didn't have the passion to be successful as a football player. He wanted to get paid.
And he had a shot with the Patriots. He even took a significant less money for essentially a tryout year, and he just wasn't there, man. I mean, Belichick tried, and Belichick is a defensive genius. I mean, he orchestrated the early 90 Giants and beforehand, a little bit beforehand, so he's got a ring with them as well.
Right.
And, you know, and now, well, actually, I was going to ask you, because you said the draftee, Westbrook, but looking back now that he's not even on your team anymore, isn't RG3 a significant letdown?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, it's...
You were looking for 10 years out of him, right?
Yeah, I was definitely looking for at least 10 years. I mean, to me, he was a franchise.
Right.
One of the former players who's actually a radio host and on a local D.C. station, he was the first one that I heard talk about RG3 when he was still at Baylor. And I kind of, after hearing him say that, I said, well, let me look into this guy. And then I got to see him a little bit and see some highlights and different things. And when he ended up, you know, I actually watched the Heisman Trophy ceremony with him and Andrew Luck, me and a buddy of mine, which, you know, my buddy's not a big college football fan, but he's, you know, he likes pro football. And we were sitting there watching it together, and he didn't have a clue who either, you know, him or Luck was. And when RG3 ended up winning, I was like, yeah, that's the guy who, you know, I actually want to be our next quarterback. I said, we'll probably not have a shot at him because, you know, and then when it came around that we ended up trading draft picks to come up to that number two spot, and it was kind of evident. I was like, man, that's it. You know, I was really excited about that because I would have been happy with either one, but I already knew that, you know, the Colts with the way they go.
Yeah.
The Colts didn't want a flashy guy. They wanted the Andrew Luck type. And to me, RG3 was just a flashy guy, but he was a hard worker, and he was fast, and he was pretty accurate with the ball. So I was definitely happy. I think I'm disappointed more or less the way everything went down. But with this rookie season, I mean, it's hard to just say where you're just disappointed in him. It was just a collection of everybody, you know, from him to his father, to Mike Shanahan, to the owner, Daniel Snyder, and probably some other people in the organization that you could kind of blame for that whole situation being so messy. And that I'm more disappointed in that as, you know, Redskin organization. It was like another black eye from, you know, a team who over the years have had a lot of black eyes, especially since Daniel Snyder bought the team. So that was just
Doug Williams,
I chalked it up to.
The first win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was a highlight of my life also, you know.
Sure. I'm not trying to bring up a race issue, or I mean, not an issue, but a race topic, but it was a transcending thing at the time because –
America was in the middle of some stuff in the 80s. And, you know, racism was still about. And, you know, when, or was that late 70s?
No, that was 87. Well, the Super Bowl
was later.
January 87.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't remember if it was the earliest or more the latest, but, you know, when it really did transcend, you know, but then we're considering, you know, Russell Wilson is the next one, right? I mean, there wasn't anybody between. So,
right.
You know, Doug Williams isn't, he wasn't a trend starter, you know, because it didn't start. He was kind of one of a kind at the time. So, Doug Williams wasn't a franchise quarterback, though. He did enough to lead the team to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. But, you're too young to remember, but I was still pretty kind of young at the time. But even with that situation, with Doug Williams being a Super Bowl winning quarterback, MVP, first black quarterback in NFL history, after the Redskins essentially, you know, after he didn't play for the Redskins anymore, you know, because he actually was still on the team the next year. I think he got hurt, but Doug Williams had a lot of.
Yeah, he did enough to get them, and
he had a lot of injuries because when he was actually with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he took a lot of punishment, you know, before he actually came to the Redskins because they weren't one of the better teams that at that time. They were, you know, a bottom tier team.
You talking about the Bucs or the Redskins? Because the Bucs were terrible.
The Bucs. No, that's what I'm saying. The Bucs, when Doug Williams was with the Bucs, so he took a lot of punishment back then, and you know he just had a lot of wear and tear on his body. But people, even in the D.C. area, were mad, saying, "Well, why did the Redskins get rid of this guy or not play him anymore? He just won a Super Bowl for him." Basically saying that the organization was racist back then. And I was like, well, you know, who else picked him up after he was the Super Bowl MVP? You know, and the Redskins cut him. Nobody. And people tried to make it a race issue then, just like they tried to make it a race issue with RG3. And it was not a race issue in either one of those counts. And I've heard over the years people say, oh, well, the Redskins don't like black quarterbacks. And I was like, that's a myth. And I basically heard that from black people. You know, and I tell people all the time, that's untrue. I said, I think the Redskins have probably had more black quarterbacks than any other team in the league. You know, I don't know that for sure because I would have to go back a long time to try to figure it out.
Donovan McNabb,
Jason. They drafted Jason Campbell. They traded for Donovan McNabb. Tony Banks was on the team.
No issues. And this was all kind of in the same era when they drafted RG3. You know, it was right after the Donovan McNabb era. And, you know, and Jason Campbell was like 2006 or something, right? Or 2005?
Right. I think it was, 2005, I think. I think it was 2005. It might have been 2005 or 2006. I know we had Mark Brunell right around that time. So it might have been 2006, or he might have been on the team in 2005 but didn't start until a couple of years later or something.
Right. Okay.
But, I tell people, you know, that's just a myth. If you ever hear the Redskins being an organization that doesn't like black quarterbacks, that's a myth.
Yeah, that's silly. But, you know, the final question I have for you is now we're looking
right now? And 2016, what are your expectations?
Well, my expectations, I'm going to be honest with you, are not as high as everybody might think. You know, the Redskins went 9-7, won a division last year. I said that I thought they would probably win 6 games last year, and they ended up winning 9. I think they were
right.
A little bit ahead of the curve. So, I mean, if they regress and went 8-8 or 7-9, I really wouldn't be surprised. You know,
right. And I don't think the NFL universe, I guess, is putting the Redskins on a pedestal for the NFC East now that the Giants, you know, kind of made some good moves, and we know what the Cowboys can be when they're healthy. So the division is still up for grabs, I think, in the eyes of many. I don't think it would surprise anybody how that NFC East shakes out, you know, because we see it year after year. So it's a very inconsistent division. So any given year, one of those teams can have a terrible year or have a good year. So, I mean, your Redskins were just a part of that carousel with RG3 in his rookie year and now winning the division, you know, three years later. And then obviously two different winners in between, Chip Kelly's Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. So, yeah,
yep,
I mean,
exactly.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on into the Fan Block T, and I am more than positive that we will talk again. Why don't you tell everybody what the Sport Talks is about and how to get a hold of you?
Well, the Sport Talks, basically me and Will Hawkins, we talk a lot about the D.C. area sports, the Washington Wizards, the Washington Capitals, Washington Nationals, the Redskins. We also talk a lot of college football, college basketball, you know, Maryland Terrapins, Maryland basketball, and in Georgetown basketball. Those are basically our favorite teams. We definitely represent the DMV, but we also talk national sports all the time. And we fit national news into our shows on every show. We just don't talk about Washington area sports because I know that wouldn't interest a lot of people. So we mix it up a little bit, and we also talk a lot of boxing. We're heavy into boxing. We both love the sport. Will is very knowledgeable in boxing. I watch it, but I don't watch as much as him. But we definitely are both avid boxing fans, and we're into it. But he can tell you a lot about boxing. I can tell you about boxers to a certain degree, and then that's about the size of it. We come on at 1 o'clock or 1 p.m. on Sundays. So if anybody's listening and want to check us out, chime in the Sports Addicts, just like you chime in the Train of Thought. And then you can catch me on Twitter at tbrooks75, and Will, his Twitter is at Willie Hawk.
All right. Well, we're going to go to a commercial now. Thank you, T, for coming on.
All right, no problem. You have
a
good evening.
This Sports Addict segment is brought to you by Sunrise Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning. Owner Louis Sardi has more than 20 years of professional cleaning experience. They provide you with the highest quality service at the best price possible here in the Las Vegas area. Lou Sardi and his team provide service that is well beyond their competitors. The services provided are carpet and upholstery cleaning, carpet repair, odor removal, and tile and grout cleaning, and they work Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. To contact Sunrise Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning, dial 702-454-5393 or go over to sunrisecarpetupholsterycleaning.com.
This Sports Addict segment is brought to you by Legacy Sports Cards. Legacy Sports Cards has hobby boxes, gaming boxes, non-sport boxes, memorabilia, singles, sleeves and top loaders, storage boxes, binders and pages, display cases, autograph supplies and more. They are open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Sunday and Monday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Legacy Sports Cards is located at 8125 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 160, here in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can also call them on 702-341-6535 or go over to LegacySportsCards.com.
Okay, welcome back to Train of Thought, and right now I'm going to bring Chris Bellini in, the original football guru. One second here, and we will get into the great debate, and that the big question is, in today's NFL, which statistic is more valuable, the number one pass offense or the number one rush offense? And do we have Chris?
Yep. Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it, and it's one thing you know I love to do is debate. So I'm really really looking forward to having some.
All right, and first of all, before we dive into football, just how are you, and how was your day?
Pretty good, you know, standard work day. Well, banged up my knee pretty good a few weeks ago, so I have physical therapy after work. So it was a long day, but it's good. Kids are in bed, spend a little time with them, and now I get to talk a little football, which always is a good way to end a rough day. How about you? How was your day?
Yeah, it felt pretty standard. It's pretty pretty muggy here in Iowa. We're getting ready for a storm, I guess, maybe tomorrow night. So it feels pretty dreadful outside. It's humid. It's really humid.
Yep. It seems to make a nice spot. Here in Jersey, I think we hit 94 today. We're supposed to hit 97 on Friday with some thunderstorms. So we're looking at some hot weather also. Sounds like it's going to be countrywide.
Right, right. And that's, yeah, so that's right along the timeline there. So, I just introduced the topic. So now I just kind of dive into it. And what's your take?
I think it's better in today's football with the way the rules really benefit the offense and the passing game that you have a better passing offense. It's difficult to run today. Teams are so explosive that you have to be able to pass. And you have to be able to pass effectively, and you have to be able to put the ball in the end zone. So I just think teams today, your greatest show on turf, and you look at the Cardinals, and you look at New England, teams like that, New Orleans, so many years. These are teams that have won championships so in the last decade that were pass-heavy teams. The Giants won Super Bowls with Eli Manning because they could throw the ball. They weren't a very good running team, Brandon Jacobs. Those aren't guys I consider good running backs. I just see the day of a strong running game and a strong running defense wins championships kind of went away probably with the Buccaneers of 2003. I think that was probably the last team, Seattle. But I just think right now I'd rather have a better passing offense than running offense.
Okay. Right now we have another caller, real quick. And can you state your name? Because I do not recognize the number.
Hey, guys. This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn. How you doing?
Good, good. What would you like to hit on here?
I wanted to kind of talk about the question that you posed. Would you rather have the number one pass offense or the number one run offense? And you know what? Even though we're in today's NFL, I think I would rather have the number one rushing offense. And
I'm on that end.
And the reason why I say that is because I think if you have the number one pass offense, you need the franchise quarterback to go with it. So if you got the franchise quarterback, that's one thing. But when you got the run game and you really got it going, you can put points on the board with the run game because you're probably running it effectively in the red zone, which a lot of teams have a problem with. But if you can do that and score touchdowns with the run game, I think you can control the game, keep the other guys off the field, and it really sets up your pass. I think, like, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I think as Ben Roethlisberger, who I feel is top three quarterback easy, but as he gets older, what's going to help him is if they re-sign Le'Veon Bell, and then like Elway in his later career leaning on Terrell Davis, Ben can lean on Le'Veon, and I think he's going to get him home and win him another championship. So I think I think I'm going to give the rushing offense the slight edge because you can still control the game if you can run it.
Yeah, and, you know, leaning on the Steelers comment is just as you said Le'Veon could do in Ben's later career, I mean, they did lean on the rushing game and the defense when you brought home Lombardi's in the beginning of Ben Roethlisberger's career. Rashard Mendenhall, Willie Parker, and Jerome Bettis. Obviously, Jerome Bettis is an all-time, but Willie Parker and Rashard Mendenhall, you know, they aren't, you know, all-time greats. So it is easier to get. I mean, it is easier to construct a number one rushing offense, but you also have to invest offensive linemen as well. And passing game, you know, you can get receivers from just about anywhere, you know. But you've got to have a franchise quarterback, just like he said. And, you know, you name those teams, and obviously Tom Brady is an all-timer. I mean, clearly. Peyton Manning has obviously led pass offensives, Drew Brees. Can you really name the last, let's say, mediocre quarterback to the number one rush offense or pass offense?
Yeah, but see, here's my thing. You have to have a franchise quarterback to win a Super Bowl, regardless of how good your running game is. And I'll give you a perfect example. How many Super Bowls have we won with Adrian Peterson? How many did we win with Arian Foster? How many? You know, these are number one ranked, you know, rushing teams. You know, the Jets were a very good running team. You know, Matt Forte led the league in all-purpose. You know, these are franchise running backs, so to speak. You know, Jamal Charles, you know, leading rushers. I can't remember the last one that was on a championship team. Maybe the closest one was Marshawn Lynch. And when you talk about the Steelers, and I'm a Steeler fan too, look at their last Super Bowl. They didn't run the ball at all. And it was passing the ball that won them that championship game. Willie Parker was, the last one that they won was god-awful. You know, if you look at Aaron Rodgers, they didn't have much of a running game, and they won a Super Bowl. You have to have the quarterback, and with franchise quarterbacks come highly ranked passing attacks. And I just don't see this, you know, it's going to happen from time to time, but you're not going to see consistent Super Bowl wins from teams that run the ball better than they pass the ball. Because what happens when you get behind, you can't catch up. You can't get points on the board because you're not built that way to do it. And it's hard to win championships if you can't score. And, you know, at Minnesota, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is a good game manager, and he may excel at some point. But even though he has Adrian Peterson, he is not – and that defense, he is not a quarterback that is going to win a championship. And, you know, that's kind of the problem that we have, you know, the problem with – strong running games these days is, you know, you go 3 and out because you can't throw the ball. You go, you know, 2nd and 8, 3rd and 6, and an incomplete pass, and you're going against Tom Brady on the other side. He goes down the field, and you're down 7-0. You're going to be out of that running game quickly. You never get out of your passing game.
Well,
sure.
No. And I agree with those. I agree with those points. But if the question is, what would you rather have, than which one be number one? It's not talking about what other aspect of your offense, what is it ranked? And I'll give you an example. The Saints, I believe, were the number one passing offense when they won the Super Bowl, but they weren't that far behind in rushing either. I think they were, like, between 10 and 15. It's pretty good. you know, for a team like that playing on that turf, they actually had some balance. I mean, yes, if you're talking you're number one in the rushing game and you're number 30th in passing, then you don't have balance. But what if you're number one in the rushing game, but then you're number 13 in passing? Now, you got some good balance there. So I'm only focused on which one would I would be number one if I had to choose one, and I would go slightly with the edge with the running game, because I think that can really help set up your pass if you do it well and put you in manageable third downs.
Yeah, and that does keep you in games. I mean, you're not going to get blown out if you're controlling the ball. You just put yourselves in the position if you happen to fall behind,
right,
to make it difficult to come back.
Yeah.
Right.
And the thing about it is that, you know, I want to thank you representing Brooklyn, so be sure to check back in, and don't hesitate to call again, and we'd love to have you back on. Thanks for your input there.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's a really good call in. That was an excellent call in.
So, my initial point is that with the number one rush offense, last year, you know, the Buffalo Bills were the number one rush offense, and they weren't really that good, you know, as far as a team overall. But, you know, we're talking about maybe not even, you know, because number one, two, and three are kind of like, you know, they're in the same ballpark as far as their magnitude, right? I mean, if we're talking about the Cardinals, let's see, who were the top three last year? The Cardinals, the Patriots, and probably the Saints as far as yardage goes.
Right.
And, you know, they had obviously none of them won the Super Bowl, and neither did the top three rushing offenses either. And that's pointing, I believe, at the Bills, Panthers, and Seahawks. And obviously the Panthers represented the Super Bowl, but the most important thing about a rushing offense is that it does take time off the clock. And obviously number one rush offenses know how to run the football. So you initially can control a game. If you can milk a 10-minute drive by handing the ball off 9-10 times, and then, you know, picking up a couple first downs or something through the air if you have to. I see it. Kansas City, it's the ball that we play. We control the game. And if we get behind, it is an issue. But
yep. And you got to get touchdowns. You take 9 minutes, you can't kick a field goal.
What?
You got to score a touchdown. And that puts a lot of
right.
pressure on your offense and your defense. Yeah, you keep the defense off the field, but it also keeps them in a mindset that we can't let the other team score. Because, you know, if you're running the ball, you're not putting up 30 points. You're putting up, you know, 17 to 24 points, which should win you more games than you lose. But, you know, like I said, I'll use Kansas City, as you know, you're familiar with. This is a very, you know, great running team, strong defense, got after the quarterback. But as soon as they fell behind, it was over. And everybody knew it was over. The minute they got down by, you know, double digits, and they didn't have the power, offensive power, or the game, or even the experience in that, because they're usually playing a close game, or, you know, last team with the ball wins. You know, so if you have a number one ranked offense, passing offense, you can get yourself into any game. You could overcome a deficit. And I'll use, you know, Pittsburgh as an example in the last Super Bowl that they lost. Now, they weren't a highly ranked passing offense, but they had a good passing attack. So they were down 21 points. They made a game of it till they fumbled. So, I mean, to me, I just put right now with the way the game is and the defensive the rules and the pass interferences, the more you put the ball in the air, I know more bad things can happen, but a lot of good things happen too. And a lot of good things happen quick, and, you know, that to me is good for an NFL team.
Well, we're also talking about, you know, you're saying today's NFL, but you point at the Baltimore Ravens. Ray Rice was running the show there, and they were milking the clock, and they were winning football games, and they won a championship. And then you're looking
you're
at the
gonna, you're
going
to have that. Like I said, from time to time,
right,
it's going
it,
to happen.
It, but it's not necessarily time to time when the Seahawks played the number one pass offense of all time. And I'm comfortable saying that they had a top three running game that year. Obviously washed them. And I know the defensive side of the ball is the same, you know, made a huge difference there, but it just goes to show that a pass offense, I think, can fall flat faster than a running offense, better than a top three rushing offense. Because you look at the Cardinals in the NFC Championship game last year, weren't they the number one pass offense last year?
They were.
Something like that.
And you could use that same argument with what Denver did to Carolina's running game. They stymied that. They didn't do anything. So, like I said, sometimes it's matchups. You know, teams just don't match up well. I mean, what happened in Seattle to Denver, that team just didn't have a toughness to them, and basically they were assaulted by Seattle. And yes, that is going to happen. I mean, look what happened when the Giants played New England, and, you know, they were 17 or 18-0 going into that game. It's going to happen, but that's more of the defense stopping it. But, you know, it wasn't because, you know, they were in a position to win. And when that offense, you know, they got the ball last to score, but, you know, sometimes the matchups aren't there. But that passing offense blew away everybody that year and then ran into a great pass rushing
in the regular
defense,
season.
Yeah. And again, see, the thing with the NFL is regular season statistics for players do matter. It's not like baseball where everything goes down to, otherwise, you know, like I always say, if you can't count regular season in the NFL, then Trent Dilfer is a better quarterback than Dan Marino, you know, which is ridiculous to say.
Well, yeah.
You know, so that's why regular season, what happens in the regular season, because there's only 16 games, it does matter, and you can look at that. Obviously, the ultimate goal is championship. I get that, but you know, teams that have franchise quarterbacks are going to win more games, and they're not getting the win. They're not going to win more games by handing the ball off to the guy behind them. They're going to win those games by throwing the ball. But again, with a number one rushing team, most of the time you're going to be a competitive team because you're not giving the other team the ball a lot, but you are putting your defense in a tough spot, and you are hedging your bet that you're going to be in the lead and you're not going to fall behind, because if you do, you're out of the game. For me, it's just I'd rather be able to throw the ball because you can put more points up quick that way.
Okay. And, I mean, this is, like I say to, you know, everyone who comes on, this is all – objective, obviously. It's all opinionated.
Sure, of course.
And,
no right or wrong.
You know, there is no right or wrong. But, you know, just we'll give each other a final point. But, you know, like you were saying with the Giants, you know, Eli Manning wasn't throwing up touchdowns like he is nowadays. He's throwing career highs right now. They leaned on the rushing game. And Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw, like you said, they're not, you know, stellar running backs on any level, and kind of what I pointed out with Willie Parker and Rashard Mendenhall as well. But they did enough as a, you know, as a running back group to obviously carry them, not carry them, but definitely contribute. I mean, now that I think about it, maybe Ahmad Bradshaw did a little bit too much when he sat down for that touchdown. Eli wasn't very happy about that.
Right. But ultimately, what came down to those games is the quarterback drove him down the field at the end of the game. So, like I said, the running game will keep you in that game. But ultimately, you know, you got to have the quarterback to make the plays in the passing game.
Sure.
If your team is used to having to make those plays because you're a highly ranked passing offense, you know, when the time comes you need to do it, you're in that position, do it. But again, if you have a number one ranked running game, you're going to win more than you're going to lose.
Now, if we're going, we're not going to get into it now, but it just popped in my head. You know, if we're going number one total offense and number one total defense, I'm taking defense every time.
Yeah, you know, it was starting to, you know, it always was a good defense stops a good offense, and then they were getting to the point where that wasn't the case. But now I'm seeing more and more of it. It's becoming more of a trend again. Just look at, you know, Denver last year, a couple years ago with, you know, Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're starting to see it, the Giants again, both times against New England. So, yeah, good defense. Once again, can stop an explosive offense. So that's kind of, and it wasn't like that for a little bit of a stretch. That good offenses were running roughshod over any defense, and I always said there aren't any great defenses anymore. Well, that's kind of changed over the last few years.
Right. I agree with that. You know, yeah, definitely looking kind of in between the time of, because obviously Seattle was the more, or the trendsetter, you know, if we're talking about Seattle and the Broncos. And, you know, the gap between a significant offense like that is, you know, the 03 Bucks. So, and the 03 Bucks were right behind the 2000 Ravens. So,
yeah.
You know, it is repeating history. Maybe we won't see another team like this for another 10 years. So,
yeah.
You know, it's always great to have you on, and I hope you come back for the great debate, because it's always a good one.
Absolutely.
And,
love debate.
Yeah, go ahead and tell everybody about your show and how they get a hold of you on social media.
All right, I appreciate that. Rich is on my show. It's on Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. West Coast Time. Feel free to call in, talk about fantasy football, NFL football, and any topic you want to discuss in regards to those topics, football and NFL football, fantasy football. And you can reach me on OriginalGuru91, so feel free to ask any fantasy football or NFL-related questions. I'll be glad to answer them. And thanks for allowing me to come on today and plug my show.
Oh, absolutely, bud. Anytime. You know, we're all a part of the Sports Addicts crew, so
absolutely.
You know, I'll be getting your show out there as well, and
right.
And you know, we'll keep it rolling, man. So thanks for coming out, buddy.
Bye, man. Have a good night.
You too. So in conclusion, we had a pretty good show here, and this was Train of Thought. I'm Tyler Payne, and I'll see you next Wednesday, same time, same place. Don't hesitate to call in, and we should be getting into another NFC division. I'm not sure which one I want to get into next, but I am looking forward fans of the certain, like I brought on a Vikings fan, talk about the NFC North. So if anybody's interested, we're going to throw the NFC West out there, and I think that's the one we're going to go with next. So if anybody wants to get a hold of me at Twitter, that's at KCPanhagen58. That's Derek Thomas, rest in peace. And we'll get you on, man, or lady. Have a good night.